Tarek, Cuff Bays over here, Cuff Bays. And as a side note, David Weintraub's son's bris is on Friday, if anyone wants to go. Tefillah Anikiato, a prayer for the afflicted man, for a poor man, when he throws a talis around him, Lina Hashem Shishpoch Sicho, and in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pours out his tefillah. He pours out his tefillah before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now here's the pshat. Either number one, Yaatov says that David Melech would say over this Tehillim when he needed to get away from his enemies. He had to wrap himself up and hide himself from his enemies themselves. Or it's referring to the enemies of the future. He's davening for the future of what's going to be over there. Or it's referring to how you bow yourself in prayer, how you enfold yourself and wrap yourself up in your own prayer. That's how a person is supposed to be. We do not know, unfortunately, no. Although most of these are referring to the end of his life, so it could be it's referring toward the end of his life, or the, you know, when he's already the king.
After Avshalom, I mean, what was his?
Could be Avshalom. Yeah, it could very well be Avshalom. Yeah, it very well could be. I don't know. And that's the point. The other thing is that he's accepting with love. Somebody who accepts, you know, who has Yisurin and says to himself, you know what, I'm not going to do anything with life. You can understand that. You know, things bad things have happened to him, and he just says, you know what, I don't care. I'm just not going to do anything. That's that. I'm sorry? Not that he loves Yisurin. He's ohev the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him Yisurin because he knows what they do to him. It'll take care of his tefillah, whatever it is. Things will be able to go through, etc. So he'll be able to suffer through it, etc. But Yishpoch Sicho, Lefnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho, he's going to pour out all of his troubles to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, as if it's in a haphazard manner, right? That's the idea of where he's pouring out his feels, pouring out what he wants to say.
But it also needs to say he's talking about Yisrael and Galus.
Yisrael and Galus. Yeah, that makes the most sense, right? Yaatov could also mean delay, but either way, that's the idea behind it. There's a mashal over here. A king, on the occasion of his birthday, announced that anybody who davens to him on this day is going to be granted, whatever it's going to be. Everyone came, and they all had a particular request. They all well rehearsed, etc. There was a wise man who said, I'm going to ask one thing of the king. I want to come back to you at all times. It's sort of like the genie, right? The genie in the lamp gives you 3 wishes, so one of your wishes is 100 wishes, right? You just keep asking. Why not 100? 100's good enough, right? But that's the idea. He enveloped himself. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want this opportunity to speak to you at all times. That's the idea behind it, and that's the idea. Now, there are 2 ways that a person davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One way is as a king, and one way is as an ani. When you daven as a king, that's when you're in that feeling. That's the person who's davening, like the clapping and the chassidusha, you know, like putting his arms up in the air. That's the king way of davening. The ani way of davening is when you have your hands up on top of your heart, and you're holding yourself down with a bowed in prayer, that sort of a thing. And that's tefillah la'ani kiyatov. That's the ani kiyatov. This is this tefillah. Hashem Shema Tfilasi. Hashem, listen to my prayer of Shavasi Elech Zavo. Allow my cries come over to you. Notice all the differences over here. We got the tefillah, sicha, and now shava, the different types of tefillos. Al tasir b'nechem me'ani, do not hide your face from me. B'yom tzar li on the day of my pain. Hatei elai oznecha b'yom akro maher eneni. Turn your ears to me on the day that I call all to you. Quickly answer me up. Now again, if we're talking about the galus and the shechina, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed this to happen in such a way where people forget about their suffering, everything goes through. But this is the secret of our being able to handle your suffering, that we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that your face is turned and we know your face will turn back to us. The knowledge that it may be a little bit for now that there's hester upon him, but we know eventually it's going to come through. And that's the idea. Ki kol va'ashen yamai, because my days are consumed as if it's in a smokestack, as if it's all gone in a second. V'atmosai kemoki nicharu, my bones as if they are burned in a hearth itself. And just like the fire burns, so too the bones, right? My bones have been, so to speak, incinerated. It's as if I have nothing left. And the Jewish people are sitting there and they're saying, they're complaining that the gullus that they're in caused them not to be able to learn Torah. Their days are consumed with not being able to learn, not being able to do mitzvos, etc., doing whatever they can do. My heart is hit like dried, withered grass, and it's gone, Libi. That's my heart. Because I've forgotten to eat my bread. And the idea is that I haven't been able to sit down and eat. I haven't been able to parch my thirst, right, because of everything that's there. Yeah.
Why does it have to be talking about learning? And it's not just, you know, suffering.
So the line is that the dryness, right? It's as if everything else that goes up in smoke is what my life is all about, and the things that really should give me my own chiyus, my life, right, is being wasted completely. That's
that
as if to say.
I'm being physically or emotionally being beat down.
Oh, without a question. Somehow had that, and let's call it that way as well, meaning that Torah has the ability to awaken you to your own issues or maybe allow you to understand things in a different light, and that he doesn't have. He can't do it. It's called as if I can't eat, I can't learn, I can't do anything that of enjoyment, And he feels like, I'm gone, I'm withered, I've got nothing left. Mikolan chasi, from the sound of sighing. Dovko atzmi levsari, my bones cling to my flesh as if I got nothing left. I don't have anything left within me. It's as if withered flesh. It's really, okay, we don't have to talk about it. Damisi lekas midbar, I am like a ka'as of the desert. Now, I don't know what a ka'as is. The translation over here says the word pelican. I am sure that Art Scroll says the word ka'as.
Wilderness bird.
I love it. Yeah. Bird of the wilderness on the bottom. What does he have on the bottom? Any translation? Here, he has pelican. Now, pelicans are not wilderness birds. I mean, they are wild birds, right? But
a vulture.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I would think like an owl, right?
Well, I was going to say, especially how he's describing the skin being attached.
Well, what's the next one? He's the kechos charavais, right? What is kos translated as?
Owl.
Okay, so that's good because kos is actually mentioned in the psukim as a tame bird, right? That's charavos of the wastelands. That's what it's referring to over here. Okay,
no.
What it is exactly, I'm sorry?
So it could be a crow also.
But yeah, no, Kos is for sure, that's Orev. Kos is for sure an owl. There's no question about that whatsoever. The Gemara says that a Kos is the Kipufa. Kipufa was an animal that looked like a human being in the sense that it had cheekbones. And there is a type of owl that has the type of cheekbones. Yeah, there are certain owls that look that way.
Is that how you translate owl?
Kipufa? I don't know, what is it? Tinshames? Is that it?
Tinshamas is a bad animal.
Tinshamas is two. There's a bird tinshamas and an insect tinshamas. Oh yeah, that's what they call it.
Very sure.
Okay. And you got to remember also there are hundreds of species of owls. So like
each
because
one would be
it could be that Hebrew will say different words for each one. There might be a generic category and then something else, right? So it'd be hard to be able to go through. Oh, I forgot. Yaakov, you also know Hebrew. Wait, you can get that. Owl's a little bit hard. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's gonna get that. Shakadati. Shakarati is I preserved, I made it. But I remained like a bird alone on a roof, as if I'm sitting there by myself. Now the pshat behind a bird is that a bird is always fearful. You see these birds everywhere, they get scared off like that. Right? You go anywhere near it, they fly off. Except for Canadian geese and turkeys that apparently kill you. Right? Only in Boston though. Right? But that's what it's like. I'm like I feel like I'm far away. And sometimes solitude is good in order for you to have Yanshuf. That's right, that is right. Yeah, and the Yanshuf is also mentioned in the Torah, but kos is another word. Yeah, anyway, regardless.
So vultures wouldn't make sense. Vultures stand their ground.
That is atalef.
They don't move.
Atalef, that's right. Tinshamas. So what's tinshamas? Yeah. I'm sorry?
Vultures don't move. They stand their ground. They're pride.
You know, I don't know that's right. That doesn't prey. But they also eat carrion.
No, but they're also, I'm saying, they're prideful animals. Meaning, if you go towards them, they will not.
I don't know if that's true. I really, I don't know.
Tinshamas is also owl.
Oh, there is a type of owl? Okay, so that makes sense.
Barn owl, screech owl.
Barn owl, screech owl. That makes sense. They're all. Okay, so we got that down. That's at least there. But here's the problem with being alone when you're having a problem. There's no one to talk about. No one to talk to, I should say. You're crying, you're wailing, you're going to whatever it is, right? The owl lives among these ruins and whatever it is, and it stays along with nothing else. It doesn't, there's silence. It is nothing else to talk, nothing to do. And that's the pshat. Sometimes it's difficult for us to be by ourselves. I felt like a bird alone on a rooftop, as if I had no one to talk to, nothing to do. All my enemies vilify me. They make me into evil. All those who swear by me or curse me, nishbo, I don't know how to say this. Mahola lai, those who are trying to kill me, nishbo, they swear against me. I think that's the line over here. The wording over here, scorn me though. Mahola lai is usually those who
swear by me, meaning they would trust me.
They swear by my name. They swear that they're going to get me. You know, something like that. I think that's what it refers to. Here it says they became insane with uncontrollable rage. They swear at me, etc. Because I've eaten ashes as if it was bread. And I mixed my drink together with tears. That's what happened in my morning, right? That's what I was willing to do all the time. I'm sorry? No, the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer on Erev Tishabov would cry into a cup and then drink the tears.
They tell stories about the Bava Sali used doing that.
Yeah, the Bava Sali used to do it every day, though. That was the difference. Tikkun Chatzos, right. Yeah, I don't know. We don't want to go through. Because of your anger, your wrath, you have taken me up, you have thrown me away, you have cast me away. Yomai ketzel natui, my days are like a lengthening shadow, like a shadow natui that is stretched out. And I feel like a withered piece of grass. I'm not doing any better, right? As time is going on, right, the sap of my abilities, my freshness is gone, and I don't feel it whatsoever, right? It just gets worse and worse. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sit there forever. Zichrucha l'dor v'dor. Your memory, your remembrance is for generation after generation. There should be a geula, and there should be something after. Atasokum torachim tzion. You will get up, and you'll have rachamim an tzion. At the time when you favor with grace, kiva moed, at the appointed time, you assume this is the time when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, at the time when Mashiach is coming, obviously the song, because your servants love your stones, they want to be around your stones, and they cherish the dirt. And this is maybe, possibly, the minhag of what people do when they kiss the dirt of the earth. I don't remember, there's a Gemara, right, in Ksufis, in Kufyat Beis, that mentions when the Amoraim would come there at Saul, they would kiss the dirt. I don't believe this pasuk is brought up over here in that area. Do they have the Todos down over there? That they do. In that pasuk, does it mention anywhere in Ksuvis toward the end?
Which pasuk is it?
It was Tesvav. Tesvav. Did Tesvav mention
it? I don't have. Which?
The Todos down, it's right there. It's this guy. Is there Ksuvis Kufyat Beis?
It is.
This is the Makor. This is where we see that the people would kiss the dirt when they first come there at Saul.
Great uncle did that when he came from Morocco.
Yeah, I would also if I came from Morocco.
It's different. The story goes different. He comes in on a boat.
Yeah.
Him and all his friends.
Yeah.
They kiss the ground. As soon as he picks up his head, he sees a zona coming towards him.
Really?
He's like, oh
who
my
said
God.
This?
Yeah. His uncle. Great uncle. That's good. That's a terrible story, but yeah. I remember my wife told me that when she first came to Eretz Yisrael, she kissed the ground. Not because she was so holy, but because that's what
she
everybody
was
else was doing. Yeah, no, right before seminary. Before seminary.
Well, she was getting
No, sometimes you kiss the ground when you get back to America. Shiloh when it comes to that. No, I get it. On the way back. But that's the pshat when it comes to that. So that's the idea that we want it to be that the heavy land, etc. So that's the idea behind it. What else over here? The Yiru Hashem, right? The nations saw the name of HaKadosh. They're going to fear the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all the kings of the land, they'll feel your glory, your kavod, the kavod that's there. Kivan Hashem Tzion, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has built up Tzion. Nira b'chvodo. He has appeared in his glory. When he appears in his glory and it brings it about. Now it's unbelievable. It says the way that the Medrash says it over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then reveal the secrets of the Torah in public. And Zerubbabel will recite the Kaddish afterward. That's what it seems from Zechariah in Perek Beis Pasuk Tes from the Medrash over there, that it'll appear in his honor. In Pasuk Yud Ches, Panel Tfilos Ar, then God will turn to the prayer of the destitute. Avlovazaz Tfilosam. He will not despise their tefillah.
The destitute or the person crying out?
Well, the question is what the word ar means.
Well, in Hebrew today, ar is somebody who appeals, somebody who is like...
The person who's crying out loud. So yeah, I think that is the destitute in this case, because it was Dovin Mel talking the whole time.
It's not necessarily, somebody who's destitute, he has to actually cry out, has to actually appeal, make an appeal.
Okay, I hear that. Yeah, the tefillah of the one calling out, right. We'll call it that way, right? And that's that. Yeah, that makes sense. Right, he says over here, destitute, I'm okay with that, right? But the idea is that the doors are never locked before a person who is poor and needs something. Now, why are there locks on the door if it never locks? And the answer is sometimes he doesn't mean it. Sometimes he fakes it. When he fakes it, then they lock the doors.
Why would somebody fake something and we're praying for
it? Maybe he doesn't really feel it. So he does it as if he is, or maybe because other people are expecting him to, right? He has a certain expectation from him, etc.
Maybe he thinks he wants it?
Maybe. Maybe, so maybe he doesn't really feel it.
To be honest, I mean, you're davening three times a day. I mean, maybe you're a big tzaddik. I'm not.
I agree.
I'm praying three times a day. I'm sorry, I can't feel it. I'm on autopilot.
Okay, but is that tefillas har or? Tefillas har or?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's why I say it's somebody who's a little bit more, he needs it. Somebody who actually needs it. On the other hand, right, if you do have someone that you're praying for that's sick,
yeah,
you find that your tefillas have changed just a little bit.
Yeah,
things are different at that point. Then
or
it's
when
different.
But
Lavazes feels some.
I'm tired at like, because I'm trying to like.
Concentrate, then you find it's better? I don't find it that way. I find when I'm tired.
Like, okay,
I don't know.
I can be in bed in 5 minutes if I really knock out this.
Yeah, I hear
tired,
it. Really, that's the opposite by me. I definitely hear it. I wish it was Shabbos by
Shabbos
me, but you're an NCSY person, so you know I totally understand.
I wish it was Shabbos.
It's just
Shabbos is all, I don't know. I just have more concentration.
He's a chassid. Shabbat.
I'm telling you.
So Chassid Aventzi is
why. Usually Shabbos you get more shul ADD because it's a longer service.
That's funny. The mushel that's mentioned over here, there is another mushel over here. Wealthy merchants entered in. They each ordered different delicacies. They each ordered something special. At the same time, an ani answer, he entered, and he asked for some bread. So the proprietor abandoned all the others, the guys who were asking for the delicacies, and attended to the poor man, right? So why did he do that? He said, it means if they're asking for delicacies, they're not in a hurry. They're already satisfied. They just want a little bit more. But this poor man needs to eat right now because he's obviously sick. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the prayer of the destitute. When the people who are rich are davening, they're davening for like the little extras. I could use another $1 million, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could use another Maserati. That's what I need. When the poor man davens, he actually needs it. And that's the difference that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to that person more than anything else.
Not every need is money.
No, not always. I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody who happens to be wealthy, but he also happens to be a massive, like, about stuff.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So if he's asking for $1 million, so he can,
what he's asking for.
So he can then give it out.
Maybe no. I don't know. Too many people, even those who are unbelievable Balei Tzedakah, who daven be HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a million, I just don't know it. Okay. Maybe there are, and forget it, those people are beyond my imagination. I'm not going to talk, but I just don't think so. It's sort of like, I need $1 million, but I'll give $5 to Tzedakah. Right? That should be enough.
Tzedakah is those. $100,000.
Yeah, I don't know, man, but that's not what he's doing. He's doing it for the 900, right? And then, is it before taxes or after taxes you're asking for the million? Right? It's after taxes. Oh, so it's different. So you really want $1.6 million, right? Depending on your tax bracket. A little less. Depends on your tax bracket. Tikasiv Zosel Do Acharon, write this down for the future generations. Right? And there will be a creation, a nation created to praise out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea behind it. No despair. Ki Yish Ki Bimaron Kol Shoy, because God looks down from his heavenly abode. Hashem Yishmael Eretai Beit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down from the heavens above. Lishmoa and Kasasir. He wants to hear the groaning of the prisoner. Lefateach Bnei Smus and liberate. Open up the door for the children, those that are set in order to die. Maybe it's a reference to us in Golos. And thereby they'll tell over in Tzion the name of God, the fame of God. We see loss of Yerushalayim and all of his praises throughout Yerushalayim. That's when all the nations get together, and all the kingdoms, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll all go up together. He afflicted my strength on that way, and he shortened my days. Omar, and he said, I said, Eli, I'll tell you, do not let me be taken away halfway through my days. Bedor Dorim Shnosecha, you who throughout the generations your years will last. And then he's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to see the Geula before you take me away from the world. Allow me to see what I need to get. In this sense, maybe David HaMelech is referring to himself. Allow me to see the next king be brought up before I die, which he did. He saw Shlomo HaMelech be anointed. Unfortunately, it was because Adoniyahu tried anointing himself, but at least he saw it. Right? At least he saw what was happening. Of old, right, before the world was created, you laid the foundation of the earth. Your handiwork was the heavens themselves. They might be destroyed, the heavens and the earth. But you'll last forever, you'll endure. Everybody will wear out like a piece of clothing. Like a lavush, you'll wear them like a cloak, right? And then you'll just get rid of them. So to speak, that's what the new world is for. And David HaMelech is admitting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand this is not going to last forever. It's not going to be forever,
Which pasuk talks about him seeing Shlomo?
Possibly Chavav. Chav Hey. That Bidor Dor, Al Talini Bechatzi Yomai, allow me to see what ends up being.
Perhaps be that he made this prayer when he was in his mid-30s, right around the time he became king?
Not an indication, because it could be it was toward the end of his life and he wanted to see the next generation be brought up.
At the age of 70, Chatzi Yamai?
We don't know how old people were living back then. 70 still feels like it was a little young, right? It does. No, we're not dealing with people that lived a very long time, because we know Achitofel and Doeg, etc. But Chatzi Yamai, it could be that it was only even the age of 50 where he would have said Chatzi Yamai. Right? Because it doesn't have to mean literally half.
But then it can't be.
It means as I'm getting older. It wouldn't be at 68. It could be at 60. right? Half your life, it doesn't, and again, I don't think it literally means halfway through my life. It means when I'm, yeah, you know, through right, my life, I want to go out.
Lo yechatuya mayhem, and Tehillim also talks about, the Midrash says, he's talking about Ahitophel and Dori, that they died when they were 34.
Yeah, but that's lav dafka, because you might not have known
right.
when they were going to die yet.
Right, but
you might not have seen it
was
yet.
That they would and they did.
Yeah,
so but, meaning that his, when he says I hear what you're saying. Perhaps
I hear what you're saying, but that's because his consistency is that imbigvul shmonim shana, right? He gets strength 80 years.
Yeah,
no, I definitely hear that. I definitely hear that, but that doesn't mean either way that he said it at the age of 35. It could still be at the age of 50.
Right,
and say
but it would be logical to say that only because, I mean, he's praying because he's in some, whatever the situation is, it's a very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. And now he's saying, don't just bring saying me up, meaning it seems like he's got a sword at his neck, and don't help me be taken at half.
Yeah, but if we take it, I'm not going to take it from the Tehillim around it, but every time that he's been running away from Shaul, which was the troubles that he had at that point, at around the age 30 to 35, right. He mentions Shaul. Where he was, what he was doing. Kira doesn't say that. Just Tzilani Kiyatov. It sounds more like, and as the Miyamloi said, it sounds more like it was more for the nation and what they were going to do in the future than it was for this specifically. That doesn't mean that that's what it's talking about. You could be right, and maybe he was saying it toward the beginning of his kingdom and how he wanted his kingdom to last, etc. I have no proof. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a riot. I don't think it's a proof toward
that.
Proof.
I mean, I think
no.
It lends evidence. Maybe it's not a 100%, but it kind of like...
Okay, I don't mind evidence, but you could also say that it's toward the end when he wanted to see Shlomo become the king. You could also say that.
But I don't know. How does that fit in with the language of Al-Tali, Bahatsiya?
I don't mind. Chatsiyamai does not bother me. It doesn't literally mean half. Yeah, at the age of 60. Yeah, 60. Chatsiyamai, before my days are up. That still could be a phrase. Which one? The phrase? No, he doesn't talk about it.
Who brings up the idea of Shlomo?
No, Shlomo Melech is me. Yeah. That Al-Tali, Bahatsiyamai. And then Lefnim Ha'aretz, yeah, and that's that. Right? Behemi Ovedu. They're going to destroy, right? We just said that. That's Chav Zayin. Chav Chas. V'atosh no tekel yitomu, but you and your years, Hashem, they will never end. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as time. You're beyond time. B'nei avadecha yishkonu. The children of your servants will dwell securely. V'zarum lefanecha yikon. And their children, right? The sons of your servants, their children should be established before you for a long time. That their children will never cease to exist. They'll never again be driven out. That they'll be okay and that they'll continue to live. Okay, that's Anna Kuf Beis. Kuf Gimel, this now we're getting to the Borchi Nafshis, which is always interesting. Kuf Gimel and obviously Kuf Dalet, that's the official Borchi Nafshis Hashem. Let's see what happens over here. My soul should bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all of my innards, the holy name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole thing over here is talking about the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the loving kindness of Hashem and everything he's been able to do, everything within me, right? And saying, trying to say that blessing God out loud. Borchi Nafshis Hashem, Al Tshri Kol Gimelov. Bless, my soul wants to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not forget all of the great things, the rewards that God has given me from the beginning of my life when I was a fetus in a womb all the way to the end of my life for everything that I was able to get over here. So Leich Lechov Aneichi. He forgives all of your sins, HaRofi Lechotach Loeichi, and heals all of your diseases and all the sicknesses over here. So, obviously, forgiveness is the easy one over here. It could be that it's referring to the diseases of the soul or diseases of the body. Bro, what does it mean, diseases of the soul? It means the sins that have come about or, unfortunately, melancholy. The sadness and, again, depression that a person might have. Diseases of the body, I think we all understand that there could be a refuah for the body itself. And that's why we say, refuas ha-nefesh, refuas ha-guf, that we should ask for both. Not just refuas ha-guf, but we mamish mean refuas nefesh as well, that it's going to be that way as well. Now, it says in Pasuk Dalet, Agol Mishachas Chayoichi, you redeemed my life from the pit of Gehenna, Matrechi, Chesed, Rachmim. It crowns you, this referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Chesed and with Rachmim. And this, the idea is, redeeming my life from the pit, right, is the evils. That means from all the natural things that happen, like meteor showers or earthquakes or floods or things like that, hurricanes, etc., and redeeming you from the evils regarding my freedom to choose and what happens in my lifetime, the spiritual ideas that we have to be able to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with the necessities that we need, whether it comes food, water, shelter, clothing, etc., things that we need, right? As well as the supernatural things, our ability to think straight or to come up with a good svara or to have whatever it is. Not only that, Shachas also refers to Gehenna. Hagol mi Shachas Chayoichi, that we all know this concept of Avraminu sitting outside of Gehenna and saving the Jews from going to Gehenna if, as long as you have a bris milah, right? That idea of trying to save us from it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised us that we'll be able to go through. What? Rabbi Nachman with the payas. Well, that's if you're already in Gehenna. He pulls you out of Gehenna by your payas, but you already got there.
You already got there. Pulls you out of Gehenna if you recognize Gemara in the
Erevin. That pulls you beforehand, Erevin. Pulls you out before you get in, before you get in.
I thought it's on Shabbos or is it every day?
No, every day.
So, every day. Why not just, you know,
just do a virus?
That's terrible.
The line is that you might be hidden from Avraham Avinu.
No, right, that's only for an Avera. That's only one Avera.
No. The line is that you might be hidden from Avraham Avinu. Now, one of the things that happens is being together with a non-Jew,
right,
with a shiksa that applies
it's
that.
It's not even Isser Daraisa.
But you never know. You could still be hidden. I'm trying to remember. I remember this line being asked, and I remember somebody saying that it was like a story where the guy got through. It was like a Hasidish story, but I don't remember what it was. I don't remember if it was Rabbi Yehuda Chosin and Sefer Hasidim, but the guy, Avraham Avinu, didn't recognize him as a Jew. And it wasn't because he was together with a non-Jew. That's what ended up happening over here. So I don't know. I honestly cannot tell you. I don't remember. I don't know if it's because it might have been Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. It's like Sefer HaSidim. I don't know. I don't remember.
It's a Mishnah in Yom. Omer Echtavashu.
Right. Then he won't end up getting it. No, you're 100% right. I just don't have a great line for it. Pasuk Hey, Hamasbia Batoif Edyech. He satisfies your old age with good things. Tischadesh Kanesher Nuuraychi. You renew like an eagle your youth. You're able to renew like an eagle everything that your youth is all about. That's what you're able to do over here. That's the concept over here. I am in trouble over here. All right, whatever. We'll see if we can. Either way, but what does that mean, renews like an eagle? So this is the famous line, and everybody knows this, right? There was supposed to be what's called a phoenix. The phoenix was a bird that was able to renew itself, that it flew up into the sun, right, and renewed itself and then came back down and had brand new feathers and whatever. I don't know where that originally started from, right? That's why it's called that way. Now you finally got it? The Phoenix Suns? That's exactly why they're called that way. That's where it comes from, right? But our Medrash doesn't come from them. They get it from.
No.
But there is supposed to be that phoenix concept.
It's also the flight of Icarus.
Icarus, yeah. But I don't know what this means exactly in our terms of what the eagle is. I guess because the eagle flies very high in the sky, right? It looks like as if they disappear into the sun. And then they come back down. They swoop back down and they look beautiful and, you know, shining, whatever it is. So maybe that's where the idea is. Could there be a phoenix like that? I guess, in theory, it could be. But the point is that HaKadosh Baruch who satisfies you with all the good things that you have and renews you, makes you feel like you have the fountain of youth with you. That's the idea of what it has. We had the crowns at Har Sinai. We're able to do what we need to do, whatever we have. And that's really it. We're youthful. We feel like a youth that goes through. And that's the concept that goes through with this, the great things. I remember one time I was davening for the Amud in Beis Chaim David, and a guy came up to me and I said to him afterward, after I davened, I went up to him and he said, Shkoyach, and I said, you know, I meant to say another song. I was supposed to sing another song, but last second I messed up and I sang this song instead. I was going one way, you know, your brain just takes you another way, whatever it is, right? So it just brings you some way. There's worse things. Yeah, no, there are worse things. But either way, so the guy came up to me and said, what is it? Youth. I forgot the line that he said. It's a famous phrase also. Something is wasted on the youth, right? Like, energy or whatever it is wasted on the youth, right? He's saying it about me. He was saying, like, get that line. And I understood what he meant. It's just like, when you're older, you get a little bit more established in what you want to do and how you want to do things, etc. When you're young, you yearn for money, you yearn for this, you want to do whatever it is. You have this drive to do things. When you get older, it's sort of like, okay, I'll deal. You know, I'll just deal.
You're routine.
Yeah, sort of.
It's not that you get used to it, it's routine.
No. No, there's an ability for you to recognize confidence, where you know what you need to do. And you're not bothered by, like, trying to impress people. You're done with impressing people. It's over when it's like that. And that's the idea behind it. And that's the concept, that your youth is, you know, used in this way. Does righteousness, he does judgments for anything, anybody that is oppressed, the hashkacha that he has in all these cases. He makes his ways known to those who follow Moshe. Moshe's din, obviously not to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not around anymore. L'bnei Yisrael, L'ilosav, to all B'nai Yisrael, right, all of his works. And this, it could be the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, his ability to be able to, this chos avos that we all have. Rachum Nechanan Hashem, he is merciful and gracious. Erech Apayim Rav Chosed, as well, slow to anger and filled with chesed and everything that we need over here. Lola Netzach Yoriv, God will not fight us forever. Lola Olam Yitor, he will not be angry forever, even though we should deserve a punishment, it's not going to last. There will be a punishment that we need to get, and that's going to be it, but it's not going to last. We'll get over it. Look, Asalenu says in Pasuk Yud, like our sins, God does not punish us exactly. Look, it's not according to our terrible sins that he repays us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives us the proportionate punishment that we should get for doing our sins. He gives us a little bit of rachamim. He pushes it off a little bit. He stretches out the punishment. He allows the punishment to be done in a different way in order for it not to be done in such a harsh manner. Yeah.
You say Midah Keneged Midah is what the line is here?
No, why?
He's saying that you're treated according to your sins.
Okay, yeah.
That's what Midah Keneged Midah is. But if you do something...
Wait, I don't understand. The pasuk says, Lo kechato einu asolanu. We're not punished according to our sins.
So my question is that, so how do you explain Midah Keneged Midah?
Oh, you're asking about Midah Keneged Midah. No, I don't mind that. That has nothing to do with this. He's not punishing us according to the severity of our sins, but it's still the punishment is Midah Keneged Midah. Right, that's the idea that we're rewarded in the sense that we're not totally destroyed. Yudal, Kikavosh, Shemayel Aretz. As the heavens are high above the earth, the miles and miles and miles that the heavens are above the earth, Gavar Chasdol Yareyev, his chesed is stronger than that for those who fear him. Think of it as miles high. That's how much he's willing to help and how intense it is for us. Kirchok mimizrach mimarav. As far as east is from west, Hirchok mimenos psha'enu, HaKadosh Baruch has removed our sins from us and taken us away from what could possibly be something that punishes us, etc. Kirachim avobanim. Like a father has mercy on his kid, Richam Hashem yoreyav, HaKadosh Baruch will racham him on those who fear him, ki yadai yitzreinu, because he knows our yitzahara. Zachar ki afar nachnu. He remembers that we're but dirt. We're nothing else but it. And obviously we have physical issues. We have lusts. We are but nothing but dust itself. And because of that, we try to make things ruchni, but he understands that that's very difficult for us. Enosh kechatzir yamav. A man, his days are like a withering plant. Kitzitz hasode, like a blooming of the flower of the field. Ken yatzitz. That's how our days go. We bloom a little bit and then we're done. Right? The way it is. You know what always hits me, and it really hits me this way? Tulips. You ever seen tulips grow? It's like a week and they're done. There's nothing else left.
And it's like first week of April.
Yeah. And that's it. They're gone. They're gone. They're all completely gone. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. They don't last. Tulips are gone. And I know there are other flowers like that. It's just those. I happen to love tulips. I'm a big tulip guy.
They grow back every year.
They grow back every year, right? Because whatever it is, they'll stay in. But it's so crazy. It's just like 1 year, one week for a whole year, etc. And I think that's the idea. Meaning a person is that type of person where he'll have a week of like, I'm into it now and I'm ready to go and whatever it is. And like the rest of the year, he sort of like goes on autopilot, like you were talking about before, right? Sort of like just dealing with whatever it's supposed to be. Well, at least he keeps blooming. At least he'll come through and be able to do it before, right? Do it again in some other way. Kiruach avrabovenenu. A wind passes over it, it's gone. V'le'akrenu od mekomo. No longer will you know the place where it's in. Human lifespan, so to speak, is as if it just terminates and it's just as if there's nothing there anymore. Wind passes over it and it's gone. So too with man. However, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasts from this world until the next world, in Olam Hazeh as well as Olam Haba. It's going to be everywhere it could possibly be. I'm sorry? Well, you didn't deserve the chesed. Yeah, if you don't deserve the chesed, what can you do? Right? But even in that world, there will be a chesed that allows you to be in Gehenna for less time. Right? Won't give you as much of a punishment. Chesed will be there. Yeah. Al Yureyev on those who fear him. Mitzidkas will ibnei banim. And his sidkus is for the children's children. Then not only that, your schus, if you deserve something, will be given over not only to you, but to your kids and your kids' kids. And it goes all the way through to the 1,000th generation. You'll be rewarded all the way down that everybody will get it from you, all because of something you did. And the same way, it really not only goes for you, but really your parents, your grandparents, everything that they did was able to transfer down to you as well. L'shomrei briso, to those who keep his bristle, Zochre Pikudav Lasosam, those who remember his commands and they do them correctly, that's the Shamar. They're keeping the things properly. That's the idea that we're trying to say. You'll be able to continue to do all these things. Hashem B'Shamayim Yechin Kisay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the heavens has prepared his throne, and Malchus Vakom HaShalom, and his Malchus will be ruling over everything. He's getting it ready. He's getting it ready for that time where he's going to be in charge of everyone. Borcho Hashem Alachov, bless God. all of his malachim, gibori koach, the strong of power. Osi devro, they do his word lishma b'kol devro, and they listen to everything that HaKadosh Baruch wants him to say. Halavai, listen, we know that malachim don't have a choice to not listen. And obviously, saying that a malach follows the word of God is not a kunt. Like, oh, shkoyach, that's what they're made for. A malach, by definition, is a messenger. He's doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. What we're saying is that, yeah, but they still do it. They still do what Hashem says, and that's how we should picture ourselves. Picture ourselves as if we're malachim, or the shamayim of the arutz that don't have a choice to do anything but God's word. That's how we should picture ourselves. I'm sorry?
They physically don't have a choice.
They spiritually don't have a choice, right? You're right, and we obviously have that. That's how we have to consider ourselves. Now, I'll put it like this. You don't have a choice to eat treif, because you won't eat treif. You don't have a choice to break Shabbos, because you won't break Shabbos. And that's the feeling that you should have in this situation, that you won't do such a thing. That's the concept that you'll have over here.
You should look at it as like it's not even shy.
Exactly. And that's the idea, if you can. Baruch Hashem kol ma'asov, bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of his deeds and everything he does, b'chol makom es moshalto, throughout his entire rulership. Baruchi nafshi es Hashem, bless my soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea behind it. And again, you start and you end with Baruch Hashem, with the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because the soul encompasses everything through the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. So therefore, it's as if to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. I'm blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being here. I'm blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he gave to me beforehand and afterward, everything that's in this world itself. That's the concept over here, right? And that I have the ability to rule over all with the permission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do what I have to do. And we're going to end with Kuf Dalet. Let's see how many we can do in Kuf Dalet. I don't know if we'll be able to finish, but let's see what we can do, because we all know this one. Yeah, but we know this Tehillim. We all know this one. And it's Rosh Chodesh. Good call. This is Mamash Artu Tehillim for today. See what we can do. Now we have my soul blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Elohai, Hashem my God, Godalta Mod, you are so very great. Hod Vahadar Lavashta, you don yourself in splendor and beauty, and that's what you have over here. Now, up above, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech was speaking about God's his supervision, the Hashgacha, that transcends the natural order over here. Here, he goes into the thanksgiving that we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, Thanksgiving, we're even close. Oh.
So, perfect.
We set into everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, the greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has over here. So here we go. Ota or kasalma, you wrap yourself as like a robe in light. Notice my Korea, and you spread out the heavens as if it's a curtain. Now, this entire line is explained by the Baal HaTanya. I'm not going to go into what the Baal HaTanya says, but the Baal HaTanya explains this entire line is obviously something referring to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and how his Hashkacha appears to be able to make things happen throughout the entire world. It's as if to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his light and his godliness to be shown to everyone out there, as if it's impossible for us to grasp his greatness because he surrounds the whole world with his greatness and what he does over here. The firmament, the skies that he puts up, that's the greatness of what God did on the first day and the second day. The Or on the first day and the Shamayim on the second day. Makar b'mayim eliyosav, he lays the waters up above. Asam avim rechuvo, he makes the clouds, so to speak, as if in his chariot that he rides upon. Hamalach al kanfei ruach, and he walks upon the wings of the wind. Os malach of ruchos, he makes the winds his messengers. Meshorsav eish lohet, his servers are like a roaring fire doing everything that he needs to do. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world in a natural fashion, making sure that we have everything that we need. If we need something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will take care of it. He'll give us everything that we need, whether it goes through bringing moisture, drying stuff into the world, making sure that the world runs naturally. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Yosad Eretz Mechonel, he established the earth upon its foundations, Baltimodo Lamvoid, said it will never falter forever and ever. That allows the foundation of the earth, as if it's a sphere in the middle of the sky, to be put as if it's not hanging, but rather being held in place. We'll call that gravity. That he made the solar system and even the galaxy and the universe in such a way where everything is bound by the laws of gravity so that it stands in place and can never just find its way, just get out.
Laws of nature, just like, I think references to Malachim is basically the laws of nature, is how it's running.
In this sense, yes.
No, but in the spiritual realm versus...
Yeah, in this sense, yeah, 100%. He's allowing the Malachim to run the world, which to us, we just see is the natural ability of the world. Use it as the Abarbanel, how he explains the Rambam in Parshas Vayera, that Abraminu was watching the Malachim destroy Sodom. He was able to see a vision in which it was Malachim destroying Sodom. Says the Abarbanel, but what really happened is there was an earthquake or there was a storm or whatever it was that happened. There was a crazy storm that destroyed them, but Avram saw that it was Malachim doing it. And that's the vision, while what happened in reality was just, there was a massive storm that killed everybody there. You know what I'm saying? It's the Abarbanel's version of how the Mori Nebuchim learns up the beginning of Parshas Vayera. It's an amazing Abarbanel.
Would hold that all nature is done by Malachim.
Yeah. We hold that way. That's not just the Abarbanel. Everybody holds that. It's done through Malachim. The question is, the miracles that the Torah says are happening through Malachim, are they actually miracles or they're natural occurrences that the Torah is saying is actually happening through Malachim?
Everything that happens in this world that we see natural occurrences, there's a corresponding spiritual realm. We don't see it. But that's what happens. That's what Kabbalah is. Kabbalah is the spiritual aspect of the way we call science.
The way the Rabbi Raka always put it, right, is that it's going, the world is coming from the world up, trying to raise itself. That's physics, raising itself up, while Kabbalah is taking the Shemayim down. And at some point, it meets. No, at some point, when you get the expertise of physics, you're able to get to that point.
The spiritual correspondence of what you call science is what Kabbalah is.
Yeah, it's going from different directions. And therefore, you can see by learning up the science of the earth, so to speak, you will be able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate wisdom. That's the concept. Hopefully other people would see it, right? They wouldn't think the other way, but that's the idea behind it. And that's what I mean. What?
Understand learning.
That's good. To home kalavush kisisoi, you covered up the depths as if with a garment, al harim yam dumayim. On the mountains, you allow the water to stand. Now, what this is referring to exactly, does this mean that the depths end up becoming evaporated into rain that allows it to rain down in the mountains? Who knows? But it is an unbelievable thing that the waters on the depths of the earth can end up becoming the rain that falls down on top of the heavens. Whether that's the exact way of how it happens or not, I don't know, but that's the concept. Min garos chayinu sun. From your rebuke, the waters fled. Min kol ra'amcho yechafezun. From the voice of your thunder, everybody rushes away. There's scariness that happens over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your power and what happens through your power is a scary thing. Not all of us always understand it. Yalo harim yerdvakos. They go up the mountains. They come down through the valleys. El makom zeh yasadet lehem. I'm sorry?
Water goes up the mountain.
I don't think water is, this would be like evaporation, right? It's as if it goes up the mountain, yerdvakos, goes down to the valleys. El makom zeh yasadet lehem, to the place where you establish them to be. There is a border that you have set that no one can pass by, where they cannot return to cover up the land. In other words, the water should be able at any time to have these waters that go across the land and destroy the land, but the sand allows it to break up, right? The way that it's made, that it's amazing how the water goes up, where it goes like that, right? Where the sand goes up like that, the water does not have enough power. The water is coming like this, and it hits here. By the time it gets up here, it already falters down. It no longer has that strength to go through. The only way for it to happen is if it rises so far up that it's impossible to go through. I don't know if you, yeah, but a tsunami doesn't really go the way. A tsunami does not,
it's like a wall of water.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's taller. A tsunami does not appear as a huge, like a huge tidal wave. You know what I'm talking about? It's not a tidal wave that comes down. That's not what it looks like. It just, yeah, it just rises. It just rises and rises and rises. But you don't see it.
It gathers the water. That's
you just won't see it. You're not going to see the wave coming in.
The water, that's what I'm saying, it recedes.
And I remember reading when it happened in Indonesia, I was reading about it and trying to see like pictures of what it looked. Apparently when the earthquake happens, there's a shift under the water.
Yeah.
It causes a mad rush of water to go in one direction. And,
And at first the water goes that way because it makes sense, right? And then it just goes. But you don't see it the way that it's depicted maybe in movies. I don't know. Maybe there's a movie that has it where it's like this huge wall of water that comes in. That's not how it is. It's sort of, it just sort of rises and just doesn't stop. And just keeps going
tidal
and going wave, and
no,
going.
Tidal waves,
but tidal waves stop because there's not enough power to go through. They look different. They have a different aspect.
There are waves.
That's how I understood it. Because in the Museum of Science and Industry, they have a whole thing. Yeah, it's a way, how you figure out waves and the way that it goes. It's impossible for a tidal wave to happen that way because the whole power behind a tidal wave is coming from the top of the water. It's not able to go any further because
down.
It's blocked off by the waters down here.
Something that a surfer would just be like, wow, this is the greatest surfer.
But it's not more than, it won't.
He would die.
It won't splash down.
Oh, you guys.
It can. No, if they know how to ride it.
They know how to do it.
Yeah, if you know how to ride it, you'll be fine.
They have it. No, but they have it.
Well, yeah, but then you go down and you can start over again.
But it weakens as it reaches.
Why not? Of course you can. They do this all the time. Guys, there are 50-foot tidal waves. They have them. They've
And then it collapses on
the. Yeah, no. They're fine. These guys are fine. Yeah. These guys are able to go. Oh, if it keeps on rising, okay, maybe, yeah. But I don't think it just keeps going like that. That's just not the way it goes. All right, here we go. Pasuk Yud, guys. He sends out springs into the rivers. Ben Harmi Aleichon, they go running between the mountains, all these springs and waters that go through. He gives drink to every beast of the field. Yishbru Fraim Tzma'am. And even the wild donkeys, the horses that live in the desert areas that don't usually get water, even they are able to find what they need to quench the thirst. Aleim Ofashmai Mishkon. Above them dwell the birds of the heavens. Among the branches, among all the branches up above, they give forth their voice. Even they get what they need from the water that's up there, and they sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking Hashem for everything they got. Mashma Harami Ali Yosef. He waters the mountains from up above in the chambers. Mipimra Secha, the earth that's full of fruits. Tisba Aretz. They're satisfied on the earth itself. Now, this is a big machlokas, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer learns from here. Rabbi Elazar has a pasuk that Mashma Harami Ali Yosef means evaporation. That the water comes up from the bottoms and it comes up, goes up to the top, and then it rains down in us. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, it's a raya from here that the water all comes from the heavens. There is no water that evaporates. The water all comes from the heavens above, from space beyond. And Mehar Liosef, it comes from the above heavens and comes down. So Rabbi Yoshua actually brings this as a raya to his shita, where Rabbi Eliezer understands, no, you can explain it according to my shita. Matzmiach Chatzel Behema, it sprouts out grasses for the animals, Esav Lavodos Adam, as well as grass for the service of man, Lahotzi Lach Min Aretz, and it allows bread to form from the ground, allowing everything to come out. The Yainis Machla Vavanosh, as well as wine that gladdens the heart of man, Lahatzel Panim Yishomen, and oil that brightens up the face of man, Velechem Levavanosh Yisod, as well as bread that satisfies the heart of a man itself. They learn from here that only bread is what you bench on. That's a Seuda. Anything else, like Yain and Shemen, cannot be used for a Seuda, nor can any food. That's the big Shiloh of what's considered bread specifically. It's also amazing, right, that it's set up above Esav Vodos Adam. Mizonos is bread. I mean, it's just a different form. You know, you don't do it on all mizonoses, like macaroni, let's say, right, cooked or, things that are fried or whatever it is, you wouldn't do that. But that's the idea behind what we're saying over here. And then it says, Yisbu Atzei Hashem, right, the trees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will be satisfied. Arzi Levanon Asher Natal, the cedars of Lebanon that you have planted, they'll get everything they need. Siparim Yekanenu, the birds then make their nests. Chasida Baroishim Besa, the chasida makes his home among the cypress trees. I don't know what that's referring to. Everybody knows that the chasida is a stork. I don't think storks make their nests in cypress trees. I just don't think they do. I don't know. You'd have to check somebody who actually knows this type of stuff. Maybe because they're really good. Maybe it's because the storks are big.
Is a juniper.
What is juniper? Yeah, juniper. You know those little trees that have the sharp things coming out from them? The sharp, like, they have cones and whatever it is? Those are junipers. Like Spanish junipers. You've seen them all the day. You have them all over the place. Yeah, you see it. Those are like the little things. They have pine cones on them? Yeah. Regular pine cones? There are fir trees, there are pine trees, and there's juniper trees. You know those little bushes in front of people's houses?
Yeah.
Yeah, those little green guys? Those are a form of juniper.
Really?
Those are Spanish, I forget what they're called, Spanish juniper, whatever it is. Evergreens. They're all evergreens. All of them are evergreens. So you have a picture of them?
Christmas trees.
Yeah, Christmas trees. I don't think they're.
But those aren't junipers.
No. What do you have? Oh, that's not a good picture.
That looks like an Asian tree that you cut.
Yeah, like those, like these. Yeah, the blue star junipers. Yeah, you can see them. They're like these types of trees, right? They're like little bushes. No, what do you mean
it's so horrible?
They have a smell to
them. No. It doesn't mean that. It means like the taller ones, the big pine trees. Maybe that's where they go. But that's what it might be referring to over here. Who knows? Okay, either way.
Oh, no, I have a good idea. The high juniper are its home, meaning it uses the needles as their for their nest.
That would hurt.
I don't know.
It says over here, the stork is special, is in the habit of making its nest on tall trees, on top of cedars or cypresses. You'd have to see. You'd have to have somebody who really knows their birds. All right, we're going to stop with that, guys. We're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. We'll stop right there. That's because they're so afraid of killing someone.
Geese make their nests on bike.